I'm the mother flippin' rhinoceros. My bees are fat and the birds are on my back and I'm horny.
I'm horny.
If you choose to proceed, you will indeed concede. Cause I hit you with my flow, the wild rhyme will stampede. I'm not just wild, I'm trained, domesticated. I was raised by a rapper and writer that dated and subsequently procreated.
Hello and welcome to episode 13 of The Ump. And
Hey, it's not The Ump, James. Fuck, you always fuck it up. It's changed now.
What do you mean?
It's called the Brit Film Club now.
The what? The shit film club?
No, the Brit Film Club, also known as the BFC.
Ah, the BFC.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's good because it'll remind listeners of KFC.
Yeah, exactly.
And everyone loves fried chicken.
Fried chicken, and mm-hmm. You want some
Brit fried chicken?
Yeah, Brit fried chicken, yeah. Instead of Brit Film Club, you know?
Okay. Oh, we better introduce that again, hadn't we then?
Alright,
I fucked up.
Yeah, you fucked up. I gave you one opportunity to use
this
properly.
Oh, no!
Yeah, you're really hurt by this, aren't you?
Take it away, Ali.
Alright, so hello and welcome to episode 13 of the VBFC. Oh, fuck! Okay, I'll do that again. Take two. Hello and welcome to episode 13 of the BFC, the Brit Film Club, also formerly known as The Ump, but no more, sadly, for me. But yeah. Lucky for you guys.
Lucky for you.
Yeah, and James.
And me.
Yeah.
And everyone that isn't. And even Ali.
Yeah, okay, it is. But yeah, James, how you doing?
I'm good. Thank
that
you.
Was probably the longest winded introduction we've had to
have
a show.
Have you forgotten how to speak today?
Yeah, I think I have. I don't know what it is. I'm just tired.
Isn't everyone?
Not. You're moisturising your legs.
Yeah, they're really nice and smooth and soft now.
Yeah. You can do a Venus advert.
I could do. No, my legs are too hairy.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. You can do it.
Okay. I do have really nice slender legs. Yeah.
I'll take a picture of that.
I've been alright. How you been?
I've been good.
How you feeling about the name change and the podcast? Do you feel like we're starting anew? Is it still the same continuum? Is this the start of a new... Are we going to rise like the phoenix from the ashes that have been one or two listeners?
No, we're not.
Oh.
Yeah, no, we're not. Let's be honest here, James.
That's very pessimistic. I think you need to have a more positive outlook on your life. You need to start, you know...
You don't sound so positive.
Me, positive. Oh, well, I'm telling you what you should do. Like, what I am actually shouldn't concern your own feelings.
It should, if you're telling me what to do.
I'm not telling you what to do.
You're telling me what something to do.
No, I don't think that's true.
I think you're...
I don't think that's true.
Oh, okay, fine. That's fine. But how are you, James?
I'm fine, thank you.
So how do you feel about the name change?
I think it's good. The Brit Film Club.
Yeah.
It makes more sense than The Ump, because The Ump didn't make any sense. But I'm glad that...
I'm not going to fight over it, I just don't care anymore.
Well, I'm not asking you to fight over it, shut up. I think it's a good name. Did you come up with it?
I came with the Brit Film cast, and then my Iffy, one of our former... co-host, guest, mm-hmm. whatever you want to call him, mm-hmm. here we were discussing, and he said, instead of calling it the film cast, just change it to film club, okay. And I thought that makes a lot more sense.
So it was Iffy's idea then, is what you're
well,
talking
the club part, yeah, but I got the rest. Okay. I got 75% of the idea, buddy.
You did really bad maths then, because it's 66% of the idea, isn't it?
No, the Brit.
Oh, you're counting the.
I'm counting the.
Okay. Wow. Really good.
You could call it Brit Film Club.
Clutching at straws.
Hey, don't be a hater, man. That's
I won't
saying.
Be a hater. Won't
don't be a hater like people are to Mel Gibson. Or vice versa, as Mel Gibson is to Jewish people.
I love hating Mel Gibson.
Do you hate love hating He's, Mel
Gibson? Yeah, because,
Gibson?
I mean, he has almost no redeeming qualities.
And besides being a good actor. And a good director.
But I don't like many of his films.
Which ones don't you like?
I can't think of a Mel Gibson film that I like.
Lethal Weapon?
I haven't watched it all the way through.
You were getting too old for that shit?
I do like saying getting too old for that shit. But that's neither here nor there. I haven't watched it all the way through. Maybe I would like...
What Women Want?
It's terrible.
I can't hear Braveheart.
I don't like Braveheart.
Fucking don't like Scots, do you?
Oh, I love Scots. Some of my best friends are Scottish.
No, they're not.
Yeah.
Who's Scottish that you know?
I've got a friend called Scotty McDonald.
Yeah, that's great.
Nice, well, no, he's from, from Glasgow. His name's Scotty McDonald, and he always
that is the worst Scottish accent ever.
We had
that
together.
Almost sounds Indian.
What are you talking about? I can do an excellent Indian accent.
No, anyone can do an Indian accent, but you can't do a Scottish accent.
I think that's it in a piss now, because you know I can.
That sounds horrible. You're saying Irish there.
if I was being Irish, you could tell. This is Irish. Now, if I'm being Scottish, then I'm a lot more in my own throat. Like, it's in my throat.
Right,
it's in my throat.
Alright, go fuck yourself.
You can't do any accents, you dickhead.
I can do accents.
What can you do?
I can do...
Pakistani.
Yeah, I can do Pakistani.
Can you?
Hey, what is your problem, man? You know? Dexy? There's only like one. I can do American.
Can you go on?
Hey there, partner.
That's so bad.
Hey there, partner. I just sound like the guy from Cause.
Let's get back to Mel Gibson.
Alright, Mel Gibson. So, this is crazy, right? Mel Gibson might be directing a Jewish epic. And he might... No, yeah, I don't think he's starring in it. But he's going to be directing a Jewish epic. Now, I really don't know how...
Despite his anti-Semitism, I would like to state that he has already directed a Jewish epic.
What's that?
Passion of the Christ, about the most famous Jewish man in history.
Yeah, but wasn't it against the Jews as well?
Yeah, well, who knows? He can make this one against the Jews as well.
So you're going to say that the, like, whoever the hero is, that the Jewish were the people that, like, done something to this guy, and then the Jewish guy rose against him.
I
just
don't
Jesus.
Know how Mel Gibson's horrible little mind works, but no doubt he's going to find some way to insult Jewish people, black people, anyone that isn't him or a Christian.
Fair enough. But you know what's even worse about this?
What?
That this film, whatever it's going to be called, it's going to be written by the guy who I think he wrote, was it Flashdance? Or was it... Oh, no, Showgirls.
Showgirls, excellent film.
Have you seen Showgirls?
I've seen parts of Showgirls.
How bad is it?
I've seen the important parts.
How good is it then?
The important parts are good.
Very good. Mm-hmm. So you got someone who's an anti-Semitic psycho teamed up with a guy who likes to write about Showgirls, who thought as an original script is of Showgirls, and now they're thinking of making a big Hollywood Jewish epic. Which studio would be mad enough to try this?
Universal.
It's actually Warner Brothers.
Oh, so close.
You lost!
Oh.
Yeah, so you don't even like Mel Gibson anyway, do you?
No, I don't.
Yeah,
you like him?
I like him. I think he's a good actor.
No, but you're an anti-Semite as well, though.
How am I anti-Semite?
You haven't invited any Jewish people to be on your podcast.
I thought you were Jewish.
No.
No?
No. I just have a big nose.
Jesus. Well, one of our first listeners was Jewish, but he...
How do you know that?
David Sabel.
Oh, yeah, but he didn't want to listen.
He didn't want to listen anymore. So, yeah, maybe I am an anti-Semite fucking wanker.
No, I think that this will be awful. Did you ever watch that film that Mel Gibson directed about the people that lived in the jungle?
Oh, Apocalypto?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was awesome.
Ugh, you just like everything.
Why? What's wrong with that?
I haven't seen it. It just looks shit.
But, okay, but you haven't seen it. Exactly, that's the thing. But it's awesome action. There's hardly any dialogue, so you would love it. Because people are just running around killing each other.
I like dialogue.
No, you don't.
I love dialogue. I love witty banter.
Name one film that you enjoy witty banter of.
I like the film of life that we're currently having with our witty banter.
Hey!
Yeah.
And the director is...
God?
Yeah. I thought you were atheist.
I am, but, like, I mean, so? The director can be God? I mean, it's not real.
The life's not real? Or
maybe
part?
Not. It could be a computer.
Matrix talk. Okay, enough of Mel Gibson. But funny enough that we were talking about Universal, because now there's the set to make Les Miserables.
Mm-hmm.
You know that?
Les Miserables.
Whatever it's called.
Well, that's what it's called, what I said.
Yeah, it's coming out in 2012 with a bit of a good old Hugh Jackman. And what's that Aussie guy's name? You know, Russell Crowe.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's Kiwi, really. So he's from Australasia, people. So, do you know what sort of Les Miserables is about? I mean, you're... I thought it's relative to you, because, you know, you went to watch the Cherry Orchard whatnot.
Les Miserables is a musical about... I think it's about, like... people in Paris, maybe, that are shit poor, just really poor.
So basically, Oliver Twist.
But I don't think they get happy. I think they do get happy.
Does Oliver get happy at the end? I've seen
it. I didn't Oliver Twist. He gets like adopted or something. I was in Oliver Twist at school.
Fuck off.
Yeah.
But who were you?
I was an extra.
How could you be even then? 19
Number one, like, come on. My school's not going to stop me from being in a fucking play because they'll be like, oh, you're black, you won't fit in. Like, they already victimised the few ethnic minorities that went to my fucking school. They're not going to say I can't be in a play.
What happened?
They used to chase us with sticks. Beat a black boy day is what they used to have.
I don't believe that for a second.
3rd of October every year.
I don't believe that.
Teachers, pupils, dinner ladies.
Before, in 1920?
No, it was when I was in school, you dickhead.
They could not possibly do that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that.
Look up on the internet.
I will look
after the podcast.
All right, but what's your school's name?
Wilson's.
Wilson's what?
Wilson's School. It's in Wallington.
Wallington, all right. Oh, I'll check that out. But yeah, I mean, so... But have you read the book? Have you seen the play?
I've not seen the play. I hate musicals.
Oh.
And so... If this is going to be a musical, and I've heard Hugh Jackman sing, he loves a little fucking sing.
He loves to sing.
Then I would not be seeing it. Yeah, it's a musical about poor people in Paris. And if they turn it into a film with Hugh Jackman and Russell Crowe, then it's going to be shit. It's going to be really shit. Can Russell Crowe even sing?
Yeah, he has his own band.
It's gonna be awful. I hate it when film stars have their own band, and it's kind of like, well, no one would know about your band if you weren't a fucking mega star. Like, I think you have to do the music first. I think that's the only credible way.
Well, do you know that Russell Crowe's band's name is Russell Crowe and the Ordinary Fear of God.
Well, that's a very catchy name. That's almost as good as the ump.
Yeah. It rolls off a retard's tongue. We should have kept the ump and just said that. That was a subtitle. That slogan rolls off a retard's tongue. But yeah, enough of that. The next story is talk about period piece film. It's by The Great Gatsby. Mm-hmm. And it's about probably one of my favourite actors, and you would have no clue because you're ignorant and racist,
mm-hmm.
but it's about Amitabh Bachchan.
Amitabh Bachchan.
Can you fucking read English?
I did say Amitabh Bachchan.
You can't fucking say it properly.
Amitabh Bachchan.
Amitabh
Bachchan. That's what I said.
You sound like you know who you are.
What?
You're the Carl Pilkington of fucking films.
Oh, I fucking hate Carl Pilkington. How are you going to call me Carl Pilkington? Why am I that Carl Pilkington? Tell me now.
Because you moan like him and you look like him.
Shut up! I just hit Ali with a pillow. I'm going to call me Carl
Pilkington. Pillow fight!
Food fight! That's my favourite thing to happen in a film. But now we're going nowhere.
Imagine if that happened in like World War II, like Saving Private Ryan.
I would love it. That'd be amazing.
You know, that should have happened in Gross Bastards, in that bar scene. I bet you would have loved it.
You know what? I probably would have. So what's Amitabh Bachchan going to be doing in The Great Gatsby?
He's going to be playing like Mayor Wolfsheim on Wolfsheim. I can't say it properly.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, he's one of the gamblers in The Great Gatsby. And mm-hmm. because The Great Gatsby is around the era of the Prohibition era.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like 1920s America.
Yeah.
And it's the Prohibition era where alcohol was banned, right?
Yeah.
And gambling was banned.
Underground.
It was like, yeah, underground.
Yeah, gambling is banned, but gambling in America is still banned everywhere.
Besides Vegas.
Yeah, apart from Vegas and Atlantic City. You can't really gamble.
Oh, yeah, but Atlantic City, I mean, I'm just thinking of Boardwalk Empire now.
Oh, okay.
So that's the only, like, even though I haven't seen that show, but I kind of, like, from the trailers can gather. But yeah, no, it's just, like, he's going to be playing, he's going to be playing one of the big gamblers. But it's just weird. He sounds like a Jewish name, Wolfsheim. And why have they got an Indian guy to play it?
I don't know.
Like, do Jewish people look Indian or Indian look Jewish?
To be honest, everyone that's not black looks the same to me, so I really couldn't tell y'all.
Alright, fair enough, but I can't really argue that. But so your girlfriend, she's like, she can't even tell what colour she is, really.
I don't really look at colour.
You fucking MLK.
When I look at a girl, I don't see her colour.
You see her tits.
The important features.
I would love if your girlfriend were just there, like listening to us. She'd be like, "Don't hate the player. Don't hate the player."
Yeah.
So, okay, fair enough. No, I just want to give a shout out because he's like one of my favorite actors, Amitabh Bachchan. Okay. So, and if you never seen an Indian film, if you ever want to watch an Indian film, watch his. And I'd highly recommend Sholay, which is actually based on a Western, but it looks awesome. Next one I want to talk about is a good old Willie. Will Smith.
Mm-hmm.
He's back. We had another film project coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Supposedly his next film after Men in Black 3 will be 1000 AE, mm-hmm. Which is being directed by Shyamalan.
Boo! Yeah. Is it Shyamalan? I thought it was Shyamalan. M. Night Shyamalan.
It's not Shyamalan.
I don't know. Like,
it's Shyamalan.
Is it?
It's Shyamalan. I can't fucking say his name. Let me read it out.
It says
Shyamalan.
Okay.
Shyamalan. I don't know, it's fucking Indian, not Paki. There's a difference.
You said it, not me. Oh, he's done it again.
But anyway, I was going to say, so the story is, the premise of this is, it's set 1,000 years into the future where a young boy, who's played by Jaden Smith, navigates an abandoned and sometimes scary Earth to save himself and his estranged father after their ship crashes, which makes no sense to me at all.
I don't like the sound of that.
Don't want Jaden Smith to be a central role of any fucking film.
I think Jaden Smith should be concentrating on making Karate Kid 2.
You know, actually, I didn't like Karate Kid 2, the original Karate Kid 2, so I'm fine with that, but I hate the fact they made Karate Kid because that was awful.
Which Karate Kid is it, the one where he's at the tournament at the end and they're on the island and the guy's just like, take me out now, and Daniel doesn't?
That must be like, there's only three. They never go to an island.
The final tournament is like on a little, it's not on an island, but like the arena looks like there's a little island there.
Oh my god, I can't recall that. Maybe it's two.
I think it's two.
It's probably two, that's where anyway, in Japan.
That's my favourite thing ever.
Okay. but the other thing is, this is actually co-written by the guy who done The Book of Eli. Did you see Book of Eli?
No. Was that good?
Really good. I really liked it. I think it's basically, I don't want to spoil it, but because the twist itself makes the overall film really good, but basically it's like post-apocalyptic future, after nuclear warfare,
okay.
And Denzel Washington's like walking through basically all of America,
mm-hmm.
to go to a certain place,
mm-hmm.
and basically Gary Oldman,
mm-hmm.
is trying to take the boy, because trying to take the Bible away from him, because that's what he has, what's his name, Denzel Washington, mm-hmm. and Gary Oldman believes that the Bible will give him the power he needs to control people.
Okay.
He's basically, you know, going to the point where religion is used to control people.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole allegory. Mm-hmm. And, but it's really good. I really enjoy it. The action's amazing. It's mm-hmm. well-paced. Mila Kunis, for someone who's meant to be in a post-apocalyptic future, looks amazing. But, there you go. That's enough of that, but yeah, this sounds awful to me. Sounds awful to you.
Boo.
I like to hear that, James. I like to hear that. And I know you don't like to hear about The Expendables 2 because you haven't seen the first one. But you just like to boo a lot.
I do like to boo, but
maybe we should call this the Boo Film Club.
Okay. Oh, that would be good.
But anyway, supposedly Arnold Schwarzenegger. Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, that's his name.
And Bruce Willis,
mm-hmm.
might have bigger roles in Expendables 2.
Okay.
Does that excite you any bit?
No, why did they make the Expendables in the first place? I don't really understand the point. Like, I don't want to see old men running around.
Why not? Shit.
Because I'm not a weirdo.
How's it weird to watch old, awesome action stars?
Because you're like, kind of like, you instead of just picking up a DVD of your old favourite action film,
right?
You're making old men embarrass themselves on screen, doing and saying.
It's not embarrassing, there's some awesome action sequences in there. Well, the first Expendables.
Just bear in mind that you think everything is awesome.
I just think that
I
only hear myself, I love everything else.
I think Arnold Schwarzenegger should, like, and Bruce Willis should, like, retire gracefully as old men. You know what I mean? Like, Arnold Schwarzenegger ran the fifth biggest economy in the world. He should not be running around the film. California as the fifth biggest when he started was the fifth biggest economy in the world.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
okay.
It's quite crazy.
Okay, cool. So I think that is should be enough news, because clearly you're not happy talking about Expendables 2 or anything else.
Mm-hmm.
But let's go and talk about trailers for a bit now.
Okay.
Let's talk about the big year.
The big year?
Yeah, it starts... It stars Steve Martin... Actually, and it does start with Steve Martin, Owen Wilson, Luke Owen, and Jack Black. What did you think of the trailer?
I think of the trailer, it's not the kind of film I want to see. Like, it looks shit. I don't understand, like, why you make... I don't like these kind of films where they can excuse making a film just if you take them to lots of exotic locations and you just got a bunch of pricks on the fucking screen doing prick stuff. Like, you can't just be like, oh, look, they're in a mountain and then they fall over. It's just, it's prick stuff. Like, it's so unimaginative just to take, you're selling it just on a base that you've got stars in funny locations doing prick stuff. I can't deal with that kind of business. I think you need to have a real story.
But, are you in the mood today? Are you really upset?
I am in a mood.
I'm the one who had a bad day today. And they didn't tell you about it. I'm just saying, I didn't tell you about it.
Okay.
But fuck, I got over it. But you got your nuts in a fucking twist.
Mate. Whether I had a bad day or not doesn't mean that this film looks good. Do you think it looks good? You're going to go see it?
No, I would definitely not watch it. Okay. I might watch it if I'm, like, really bored and I have nothing
to
watch.
You know what? I won't lie. I could download The Big Year, maybe. And if I did do it, like, it would have to be, like, 1 a.m. I don't know, fuck all else to do.
After, like, a day kebab after clubbing or something.
Yeah, like, I'd be like, oh, I just need something to help me ease myself to sleep. And I could watch Jack Black, like, fall over. But I couldn't watch it in any kind of paid format. I'm sorry.
But would you pay for those Nikes? Those are Back to the Future Nikes.
Would I? I wouldn't. But, you know, they had an auction for it. They had an auction for the first pair that came, like, the first box.
Oh, the Back to the Future.
Yeah, I was in LA, I think, last weekend.
All right.
It was weird, because I was following on Twitter. Someone I follow on Twitter lives in LA.
Right.
But the person who won it, and I think it was for $34,000... for the first pair of these new, like, whatever they're called. It was Tiny Temper. It was UK rapper Tiny Temper, yeah. Won the auction.
That's pretty...
That's fucking weird.
Yeah, but isn't that a bit unfair? Why should celebrities have...
Because there was all celebrities in there, because the money goes to charity.
Okay, but I just thought normal people should have the chance to keep their shoes.
Or to spend 35...
Yeah, to keep those shoes. The first bloody Back to the Future shoes.
If you're spending that much on shoes, you're not a normal person. I don't see either of you.
I didn't know Tiny Temper was that rich, though.
Why is Tiny Temper getting this money to spend on shoes in LA? Why is he in LA?
To be honest, I heard he actually did really well in a music festival in America.
Really?
Yeah, something called, like, Coachella or something.
That's odd, because his music is so shit.
I don't hate his music that much as you. But you hate every music, though.
No.
You do hate everything.
I don't hate everything, but I've got a particular grudge with Tiny Temper. Because the problem with Tiny Temper is the way he got big really confused me, because before he was big, he was just shit.
Right.
Like, he was just, like, he was a joke that I would used to have with my friend. Like, one time someone said they used to like Tiny Temper and we pissed ourselves laughing for about 2 days. It was not because he's that bad, actually, just because he's a bit of a joke and he has, like, his old videos are, like, embarrassing.
Oh, yeah, I see some of them. They're really bad.
Yeah, and then he just turned into a superstar and I didn't understand what the fuck happened.
He just made one good music. I think, what was it, Pass Out?
Pass Out is not good.
It's good. It's good clubbing.
His voice is really jarring on it.
Yeah, I think so.
Because he's got a really monotonous flow. It's like...
I think because... Okay, there's some rappers who sound that monotonous. They work in that way because they don't, for me, rap, like, rap, I can never hear the lyrics, and that's what rap should be about. But for me, rap is just another music beat, like, in the sense it's like another instrument.
Yeah, that's
where the sound comes out.
It is another instrument, which is why you don't, instruments shouldn't be monotonous. You don't,
no, but I get it, because he's using it to beat. It's like doing, it's like, you know, someone, I don't say drums, but, you know, something similar to, like, the, no, what is a harmonica?
But you should think of it like drums. But drums, I don't like boring drums either. I wouldn't like someone, you know, like, oh, okay, like Seven Nation Army, like, it's catchy and shit. But no, come on.
If you listen
to Seven Nation Army too much, you'll get sick of just hearing boom, 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 which is all the drums.
Yeah, that's basically what it is. I can't, you know what? I envy that drummer, because she's just like, look, I've got the easiest set to fucking play. Yeah. Like, really, there's no work here. Like, these drummers who, like, sweat and just, like, kill themselves at the end of it. Like, you know, you have the front man and everything and the guitarist. Like, they're standing there, fair enough. And people think, oh, that drummer's just fucking sitting in his ass, right? But real drummers have to fucking work their ass off. I mean, the back pains. Fuck.
You couldn't imagine sitting in those tiny stools.
No, yeah, I mean, your ass would hurt.
It would.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Mm. But anyway, enough of that digression. Mm. Another trailer. Oh, no, but Oswald. Fuck. Yeah, we're talking about Back to the Future. Yeah, so the video.
Yeah.
The video for the Back to the Future Nike thing.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
Well, the shoes look ridiculously ugly.
Fuck off! They looked awesome!
Would you wear them?
I would wear them.
Honestly, they don't really fit in with the rest of your clothes, though.
What does that mean?
It means that I would find it weird that you would wear something that's a departure from your usual style. Just
well, what's my usual style? Why do you always pick on my usual style? Your usual style is fucking hobo.
You kind of have like a...
It's fucking cold today. Of course I'm going to wear a shirt. Jesus Christ. I know you're going to say it, so fuck
no,
you.
No, like...
I'll wear jeans.
No,
that's
listen. You have
jeans.
Kind of like... it's almost like a post-indie... suburban kind of
Enough of
like, this is what you have, and it doesn't fit in with those ugly shoes.
Fuck you. Anyway, I'm sorry, James.
That's alright.
It's okay. But do you like, you know, Doc Brown coming in and saying Greg Scott?
That's quite fun, actually.
I love saying I could probably hear that like 300 times saying Greg Scott, you know, just I don't know. It's pretty good. okay, but yeah, I enjoyed it. I don't know who that black dude was. His name was Kevin. I think he's a basketball player.
Yeah, when they said Kevin, I remembered his name now. I've forgotten it. But fuck it, who cares?
Alright. But it's definitely not Kevin James.
Who's that?
The fat guy from Zookeeper.
Oh, I like him.
You?
No.
I like him in Hitch.
I haven't seen Hitch. He's in King of Queens, though. And he's in Paul Blart Mall Cop.
Yeah. That is a great film.
Really?
That's a great
film. I've never seen it.
It is amazing. If you are absolutely bored and you want to see the dumbest film alive, that is it. And it doesn't offend your brain. It really doesn't. Like, there's films that are really, really, really bad. This is really bad. In a good way.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's that kind of bad. So, but yeah, I recommend that. Okay, and last trailer I want to talk about.
Yeah.
Is the Raid?
Ooh.
Yeah, it's got a bit of your Mike Shinoda, your favorite Mike Shinoda from Linkin Park. Yeah, from Linkin Park, Mike Shinoda.
Mm-hmm.
You know, doing the soundtrack.
Yeah,
but no. Okay, so sans the music hatred. What did you think of the trailer? It's an Indonesian film, by the way.
Indonesian. Okay, cool. I thought the trailer looked. Like, when I first saw it, I was like, oh, what the fuck is going on? But then I guess what was going on, it's going to just be a film of, like, just like an hour and a half of fuckeries. And that's something I can really get down with. I think it looks like an interesting, well-choreographed, what kind of film would you describe it as?
Action?
Action?
Pure action.
The action films count if they're, like...
Purely
fighting, like, you know, like,
yeah.
Action films usually expect explosions and car.
It looks like there's explosions of the fucking floorboard in that, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Anyway, yeah, it looked fucking awesome.
Yeah, it looks amazing.
In a my boy kind of way.
Yeah, it looks like if I was 8 years old and I'm dying for an action film and I need my bloodthirst, like, to be, you know, quenched, then, yeah. This is it. Like, this, the choreograph looks, yeah, like you said, looks amazing. It looks just inventive as well. Mm-hmm. Like, from a few of some of the shots, it just looks like this director or the choreographer just thought, all right, I thought this crazy idea of how to kill people,
mm-hmm.
and let's do this. And, you know, that's what, I mean, I envy people like that, when you, especially because you don't get that in Hollywood. It, because I think most Hollywood directors or actors or producers just want to emulate one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
There's no, like, real inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
Coming from, you know, there's nothing to really new to aspire to. Like, even Ridley Scott with his Prometheus, he's going back to his roots rather than doing something new.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, most directors are trying to do something new, and always going back and trying to emulate something old. And mm-hmm. just looking at this director and the film, the action, I'm just like, this is the kind of action film I need to see. You know, mm-hmm. this is just off the wall, and yeah, batshit crazy. Check the trailer out. I don't know when it's coming out, but I'll probably just get off Yes Asia. Actually, probably it is out on Yes Asia. You know, do you know what Yes Asia is?
No, I don't.
It's basically the Amazon for Chinese, Japanese, and Korean films.
Okay.
And the delivery is like 5 days. It's pretty cheap. So if you want to watch, you know, Japanese films, like 13 Assassins, you can watch it. But anyway, we're not going to talk about 13 Assassins yet, because we're going to talk about what we consumed. James, what have you consumed? Besides your girlfriend's chipotle.
Oh, yeah.
Hey!
Yeah,
did she make any curry?
She made dal, but she didn't like it.
Fucking boring. Fuck, and dal.
She made some...
Is she veggie?
No, she made some tandoori chicken as well.
Reminds her, is the tandoori chicken any good?
Was it tandoori chicken?
Oh, well, whatever.
It was chicken, it was orange, and it tasted quite nice.
Oh, there you go, that's good enough.
And it was some salad and shit, it was tasty.
That's good stuff.
Good stuff.
What else have you been watching?
The new series of Big Brother.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Well,
are you absolutely fucking kidding me? You actually are Carl Pinkington in every way?
Please give me a chance, because it turns out that this series of Big Brother
right
has a contestant on that I... No.
Are you fucking serious?
I kid you not.
Really?
One of the contestants on Big Brother this year, the new Big Brother, that's on Channel 5. His name's Anton Murphy, and I played on a football team with him for 3 years.
When did you play football?
I played football with him when I was from the ages of 14 to 17 with him.
Okay, before uni.
Yeah, before uni. Yeah.
Do you know him really well?
I know him quite well. I bumped into him in the street like 2 months ago, and he told me about his life. He's like, if you could, you know, if you, I won't lie, like, I don't have much against him, but he's a twat. Like, if you saw him before, you would imagine he's the kind of person that would want to go on Big Brother.
Okay.
But like, it's so weird when you know someone.
What's his name?
Anton Murphy.
Okay, I might watch one episode to see this dude.
When you know, well, the thing is, everyone on there is so outrageous, I'm not sure how he would appear. When you know someone acting like you... When you see someone's mannerisms...
Well, why is he a twat? Why is he a twat?
He's like... really, it's just... his arrogance makes him say ridiculous things.
Like? Give me one example. I love... Because I hate arrogant people. I fucking hate arrogant people. So please.
An example from my life with him.
Yeah?
Yeah, just stuff about like, you know, we'll go play a game and he'll be like, oh yeah, like, I'm just gonna like score all the goals. Like, you're shit, yeah. Your shit, like, just give the ball to me, and like, he'll play the game and be shit himself.
Alright.
Like, that kind of bullshit, and like, just being a bit of a dick.
You're a bit bitter about that, aren't you?
I'm not bitter.
You don't sound it. You don't sound bitter.
I'm not bitter.
How did you find Big Brother? How did you find it then?
Well, this is the thing, I don't usually like Big Brother.
Uh-huh.
It's a really stale format. Like, I watched it when it first came out, but now it's just the same fucking boring thing.
Yeah.
People. Like, acting up to the cameras. Right. So I watch an hour episode, and I sit there going, oh, this is boring. And then I see someone I know on there, and I'm like, fuck, it's someone I know on TV.
So you didn't know that he was going to be on it?
No. My mate texts me, and then when he was going into the house, my other mate texts me, because quite a few people that I know him in different ways as well. Someone I know played football with him, someone I know went to school with him.
Okay.
The text me was like, oh, Anton's on TV. So then I turned it on.
Okay, cool. Him. Okay, anything else?
What else have I consumed? I'll get back to you. You said, I can't remember. Like.
From last week, I forgot to actually talk about The Skin I Live In, Pedro Almodovar film. Mm-hmm. It's got Antonio Banderas in it. and some really amazing looking Spanish lady. Yeah, this film is really good, but fucking twisted as hell. Like, mm-hmm. it is one of the most twisted films I've seen. Like, I give it credit for not making me throw up,
mm-hmm.
but it's still a really, really good film. I really enjoyed it. It's, you know, it's a fresh take basically on a, I mean, close as I can think of is a Frankenstein film in a way. Mm-hmm. It's a modern day Frankenstein, but not so. Yeah, it's high concept, I guess, but it's still believable.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Frankenstein's obviously stupid, you know, I mean, dead limbs off people. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I don't want to tell you the story of this basically, because if I tell you the actual plot, it ruins the whole film.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really important. But basically, Banderas locks up this lady in his house and crazy things ensue in the next couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to give any more than that, because if I tell you any more, it'll ruin it. But I just say, it's really twisted. It's just, it's got a good, it's got a really weird sense of humour, but it's got a really good drama in it as well. Yeah, I enjoyed it. And even your girlfriend might enjoy it. Actually, I don't know about that, because actually my girlmate who I went to watch it with, she enjoyed it enough, so.
I got a question.
Uh-huh.
Is it in Spanish?
Yes.
Okay.
You don't want to watch it now?
No, I'm actually watching it, but I didn't know if it was in Spanish.
It's down the road for you, from you anyway, that cinema, where you can watch it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you ever want to watch it. Yeah, so that's one thing I watched. I watched Beetlejuice the other day. Have you seen Beetlejuice?
Yeah.
What do you think of Beetlejuice?
Beetlejuice, the film...
Yeah. Michael Keaton.
Yeah. What do I think of it?
Yeah, but I mean, you must have watched it as a kid.
Yeah. I've watched it like a couple of times in my life.
Yeah.
I think the last time I watched it was about 3 years ago. Okay. I like it. Yeah, I like it.
No, yeah, it's same fun. Here. That's how I feel about it. I like it. I don't have any more feeling to it. I mean, I think Michael Keaton's amazing in it.
Mm-hmm.
I actually like Alec Baldwin as well.
Mm-hmm.
I love the whole Calippo song dancing possession mm-hmm. the family gets, and so there's Winona Ryder.
Mm-hmm.
This is when I liked Tim Burton. I know I've now constantly said I hate Tim Burton, but I forgot I did like Beetlejuice and I did like Edward Scissorhands.
Yeah.
Like, I liked his early stuff, but mm-hmm. then he just went off and just came way too into his bullshit. So, yeah, but Beetlejuice, it's just, yeah, like, you know, it is a really funny film.
Mm-hmm.
It's just overall, I like the story, I like the effects as well.
Yeah.
Even though they're really old school, it's just fun to watch. And obviously when you watch the film, I mean, I think the film holds up anyway, mm-hmm. but you still get a nice sense of nostalgia, because I used to love this film as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I really did. So, for me to watch again, yeah, it was really nice. And, you know, it's something really, just heartwarming to watch again. But sadly, some fuckers want to reboot this. You know, these motherfuckers want to go down and reboot my Beetlejuice.
Stop it.
No, I'm fine.
And you don't like reboots in general, so you fear for this? Or
no, I like some reboots. Do you think
it won't work?
No, I don't think it'll work. And second, unless they get Michael Keaton, or they get someone who imitates him. Second of all, I don't mind reboots, because sometimes there's a story that could have an interesting take on the same premise. Mm-hmm. Like, like Fright Night, like the new one, mm-hmm. I prefer to the old one.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it just had a better take on the story mm-hmm. overall. And Star Trek, I never saw the original Star Trek, and you know, you watch the new stuff, and
mm-hmm.
I prefer that way more.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so that's what I, you know, and Batman, that's a reboot, mm-hmm. you think about it.
So what you're saying is that this reboot will be brilliant, like all the others.
No, what I'm saying is this one's going to be shit. But because, just like Ghostbusters. But Beetlejuice is awesome. Quickly talk about a game I've been playing, Need for Speed, Hot Pursuit.
Mm-hmm.
Played on Xbox.
Sounds sexy.
It is. Hot Pursuit. Damn!
Hot Pursuit. Stop doing that.
I like making that sound.
No.
Okay, have you ever played Need for Speed, James?
I might have done, actually.
I think everybody's played it. Yeah. Everybody's done an illegal download on their PC for Need for Speed.
Not me.
No?
No. But I've probably played it somewhere.
Played it somewhere.
I can't really remember. I'm not very good at games? Racing driving.
What, do you play Pro Evo or FIFA?
Yeah.
Did you ever play that stuff?
Computer games?
Yeah. I mean, like FIFA. Like, did you ever play FIFA and
Pro Evo? Yeah. Just not, racing.
Alright, just Just curious. Yeah. But yeah, just an awesome game. I just want to give it a quick shout out. Say it's pretty baller.
Really needed your promotion.
It really did.
Yeah.
Maybe it did.
Get a few fucking sales from that. A few million sales from that.
Hundreds and thousands. Yeah. Okay, but a show I definitely need to talk about, which just came back on its fourth season premiere, is Sons of Anarchy.
And what's that about?
You've never seen Sons of Anarchy?
I haven't. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah, okay, it's doing pretty well in America. It's like had its biggest like ratings ever. But basically, it's a show about a biker club gang in the US near California.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in California, sorry, but in a small town. And it's about a biker gang that protects the town by keeping like drugs away and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But they have their own notorious activity of doing gun sales and everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty implausible, the whole story, but it's basically it's really enjoyable. It's just good. It's just a good drama, really. It's good, very pulpy drama. I like the actors in it. Charlie Hunnam. You have seen Green Street?
Yeah.
You know the big guy, the big Cockney guy who hangs out with Elijah Wood. The one with short hair. The Major's brother.
Him?
Yeah.
He's the worst man in the world.
Why?
In Green Street.
In Green Street, he's awful. But in this, he's really good.
Okay, fine. I can believe that, but yeah.
Yeah, no. I didn't like Green Street anyway. I thought besides West Ham fans.
Did you ever see Green Street 2?
No.
That watch it.
No.
What, like it's that it gets to so bad.
Is Danny Dyer there?
No. It gets to so bad it's good levels though.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you seen Football Factory?
Yes.
Is that really bad?
Yes, it is really bad. And if anyone tells you it's not, they're an idiot.
Okay. That's a good... I'll make sure I remember that. All my life, it's just like... first thing I'll say to him, Football Factory, yes or no? Yes, fuck off. quickly, yeah, so Sons of Anarchy, yeah, it's got some good... It sounds like there's a lot of opportunity for action, because, you know, the guns and stuff, but really, it's not. It's got just really good twists, and the plot is... usually well manoeuvred, although season 3 was awful. Season 2 was amazing though. It was like up and down in terms of you know, the good and bad that was happening to the club, really. And yeah, I recommend you watching it, James, to get to season 4, because season 4 starts really strongly as well. I recommend people to watch Sons of Anarchy. It's a lot of fun. And last but not least is No Country for Old Men. The Coen Brothers? Yeah, Coen Brothers.
Yeah.
It's their film with Josh Brolin. And oh my god, I keep forgetting the Spanish guy's name.
Guillermo Bardem.
Yes!
Yeah.
Was it Javier Bardem? I keep forgetting his name. Sugar. Yeah, him. Yeah, he's awesome in it. Woody Harrelson. And Tommy Jones, that's it. God, I can't remember these names, but yeah, watched it again. I fucking love this film. It's so good. Have you seen
it? I have seen it, yes.
What did you think of it?
I think it's a good film. I will say, a little caveat, it isn't as good as some people make out. I did really enjoy it, but it isn't. I've heard quite a few people describe it as like a great, great film, maybe a classic film, which it isn't. I just think it's a good film that I did enjoy and thought was good in parts.
Why don't you think it reaches that classic level? It's like something.
The reason I don't think it reaches the classic level is not because of a fault with the film, maybe the fault of
the genre.
With watching films. I think a lot of people that I know would find it hard to connect to the film. Really, because it doesn't give you the same rewards that other films give you.
Okay.
And I think that, like, stylistically it's really good.
Right.
But I think a lot of, let's say, normal people, or people that aren't trying to, if you don't get really engrossed into the film, might be a bit, not disappointed with the story, just you might feel like you won't have that, the story arc which is a rewarding story arc.
Okay, fair enough. I get what you're saying.
I think that people would find it hard to connect to.
Okay, that's fair enough. okay, I love how he doesn't adhere to the cliches of story. Mm-hmm. So that's why I liked it a lot. Mm-hmm. It's really interesting because this, you do have three protagonists, and they're not really, because you have a point of view from each of the characters, mm-hmm. like from Tommy Lee, from Sugar, and mm-hmm. from Josh Brolin.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, obviously you're rooting for Josh Brolin and kind of Tommy Lee Jones,
mm-hmm.
and you can argue Sugar is an antagonist, but mm-hmm. at the end of the day, it's his story
mm-hmm.
more than anyone else's. If you think about it, it's more about him than anyone else. Well, for me personally, I think that's how I see it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I thought it was a. I love it.
I just have to say that it's clearly Tommy Lee Jones' story.
I know it is. I know the title is No Country for Old Men. But I'm saying from his point of view, because you see the ending. Mm-hmm. You can see why it's mm-hmm. also his story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because it's a point, it's more of a. It's like, the way I see it, it's a character study of him, of Sugar,
mm-hmm.
as well, like of his mentality.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like the whole gas station scene with the coin toss.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you know those kind of moments. That's more about him, as you mm-hmm. know. So it's like how we talk about the Dark Knight. It's as much as Joker's film, as much as
mm-hmm.
Batman or Two Faces. Mm-hmm. Even though I prefer this to the Dark Knight.
No, but the Dark Knight was the best film ever.
No,
I was just saying that. I don't actually believe that.
What's your favorite film ever? Or Transformers?
Yeah,
you're gonna deny that. So James
Scarface.
Oh yeah. So anything else you watched then?
But I'll tell you what I should be watching, what I've been putting off, is watching the last series of Entourage.
Because
I know that Entourage is, well, it's got really bad, but I feel like I should see it all the way through.
Today's the finale.
There's certain things that I gave up on, like I gave up on Smallville.
Oh.
I didn't even start with Lost. I was going to start on Heroes, but I didn't. And I know it's different, but basically, American series, they really drag you in. And I'm not... I was thinking, maybe I should just... I know it's only... I only need, like, 8 episodes to watch, because it's not... There's not a lot of episodes in this last series. But I'm thinking, maybe I should just let it go.
I wouldn't blame you. It's not... I've got nothing out of it yet. Like, I won't lie, there's nothing, story-wise, where I watched from season 1... 2 and 3, which I loved. No, probably even 4. Mm-hmm. Up to 4, I probably enjoyed, right? But after that, I just didn't, like... I can't remember what happened in 5, 6, 7.
It got a little bit. It did drag on a little
bit. No, but anyways, Adrian Grenier is an awful actor. And when they try to call him
mm-hmm.
to do something that's really important to mm-hmm. him, you don't care for, right? And the problem is, every problem they're in now, it always gets solved.
Yeah.
Whereas in the early seasons, when he fucked up his Medellin film,
mm-hmm.
at least they like said, hey, he fucked up. Like, mm-hmm. he's now... He's away in the island doing something stupid. Like his film didn't magically work out at Cannes Film Festival. Yeah. He just went to a direct-to-DVD, you know, a mm-hmm. Scarface knockoff. And so, at least you had those kind of edges to it. Mm-hmm. Now you just don't even have that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and... Yeah, that's why I'm just saying I'm really disappointed in what it's become. I mean, I want to enjoy it, but I can't enjoy it. I think Ari's just become crazy, very boring. Like, it's just the same shit. He's nothing. Mm-hmm. Nothing's really developed. Although in last season he kind of develops, but he develops a little too late, in my opinion. Uh-huh. Like after like 7 seasons of
mm-hmm.
becoming doing homophobic slant and mm-hmm. racist slants, it's like now he's like, oh, I should feel a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
He still doesn't do it, but he tries to. Alright, so we're just... So you're going to hopefully start watching Entourage next week. But well, you know what we should... we'll talk about it later. But anyway, stay tuned. We're going to come back with the 13 Assassins review.
Bye.
For now. See that? So welcome back to our final segment of the BFC.
Yeah.
Also known as the Brit Film Club.
I thought it was for Big Friendly Giant.
It's Big Friendly Giant. How does that work? I didn't call it the BFG.
You didn't say it's not called the BFG?
It's called the BFC.
Oh, that makes more sense. I was
You're
really confused.
A fucking idiot. Alright, so we're coming. So this segment is the review for 13 Assassins.
Yeah.
So, James.
Yes.
What did you think of the 13?
You always ask me first. You always put me on the spot.
Yeah, because I'm the host. You're the co-host.
Oh, now you're the host. Now you're the host.
No, you keep throwing your phone.
This time, I want you to tell me what you thought of 13 Assassins.
So now you're the host.
Yeah, now I'm the host.
All right, James. Now you better fucking watch Warriors in 2 weeks then. I thought of 13 Assassins. I liked it a lot.
Okay, yeah.
I thought it was an interesting story.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was the most entertaining story of samurai people, because
yeah.
usually I find them really boring to look at.
Mm-hmm.
I usually find the premise really boring, the
mm-hmm.
era. But, I mean, that's just my qualms with the whole, you know, just before this film, my, you know,
mm-hmm.
pre-issues with the film. But watching this film, I thought it was really well-paced. I thought the dialogue was entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
It was entertaining in places. I thought the action was really good.
Mm-hmm.
Where the show came up.
Mm-hmm.
Had an interesting sense of humor at some points.
Mm-hmm.
And it had a really despicable villain.
Mm-hmm.
And a very funny one at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, if you have a sick, twisted sense of humor, which I guess I do. I enjoyed the lead actor, the main guy from the 13 Assassins.
Okay, yeah.
So I think that about sums it up why I like it.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, James? What did you think of 13 Assassins?
Overall, I liked it.
Mm.
I really, really, really liked the second half, the last hour, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
The first hour, I thought was good in parts.
Right.
I didn't really like I didn't really like how it was paced, actually, the first half. I felt a little, it wasn't that it was rushing around, it was just, I think I was trying too hard. It's not like it's confusing, but it made me have to try and follow it and get into, and I don't feel like I was getting into what the film was going to be about in the first half. Well, I knew what it was going to be about, but I don't think it wasn't drawing me into it that much. There were parts in it that were engaging, but overall, the first half, I felt a bit muddled, really. Not that it was, and it wasn't bad, it just wasn't getting me into it.
Okay, no, that's fair enough. I mean, you do have a certain affinity of following dialogue anyway, James, as we've seen from Inglourious Basterds.
Oh my god! you know, the other day I was talking. We're talking about 13 Assassins. I don't want to talk. I'll talk about you.
We'll talk about this in a bit. Remember that.
I did like it. Really, and all. But it felt. It did feel strange because I felt like once. The in the first half they do a lot of, it's not setting up, but because they're just talking in rooms. the talking is a little bit stifled. I feel it's a bit less unnatural than after they're moving. I felt like in the second half,
yeah,
even the dialogue picked up. Not just, you know, obviously the second half is more action-packed.
I definitely can see what you're saying, right?
Yeah.
And I actually brought that Inglourious Basterds comparison, and it's not to actually shit on it.
Yeah.
I actually genuinely thought, like,
yeah,
it gave, I think the way it was even shot,
yeah,
like the dialogue scene,
yeah,
remind me a lot of Inglourious Basterds.
Mm-hmm.
And it, because
mm-hmm.
that's why I'm saying I enjoyed the overall film.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That the dialogue wasn't, that's why I'm saying there's paced world that engrossed me. Even though there's no real tension between the dialogue, it was still, because obviously they're building the characters, they build,
mm-hmm.
and but they, I think they did enough they built enough tension through the dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously they're on a suicide mission. I mean,
yeah,
I won't tell you what happens at the end, but the original thought of these 13 people is a suicide mission. It
mm-hmm.
is not for them to, is not for them to say, oh, I hope we live after this. It is for them, because their wish as a samurai is to die a noble death.
Mm-hmm.
And noble death is basically fighting in war and mm-hmm. dying. So so they're kind of like welcoming this. But obviously they must succeed at their goal.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the real tension is. Because what I think they're doing is a great job in the first hour is really showing how despicable this villain is.
His character, and I think the actor that played him was... I thought the actor that played him was really good. And yeah. set him up really, really well. He's despicable. You think... You really feel how evil he is.
I find him quite scary, to be honest, as well. Like, is you feel like I don't spoil this, but I mean, mm-hmm. you feel like he might actually, you know, do something even worse than he's already at mm-hmm. the start. I mean, mm-hmm. that's what I'm gonna say. You know, so you're really fearful of him. You don't know what his next move is because what he's done. I mean, it really builds up how to make this character. I mean, mm-hmm. the nameless girl.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't want to say any more than that, but mm-hmm. when you see that scene, you'll notice how despicable this guy is.
Mm-hmm.
And he's pure evil, and he just but he does a good job in it. He does even inject a bit of humor into mm-hmm. it, even it's twisted.
Yeah,
and even the ending, when you think there's a point where he's turning from a good bad person mm-hmm. to a good person,
mm-hmm.
he turns even worse. You know, I'm gonna put spoilers here now, from this point, because you're very lost here. It's a point where he says, I don't know, maybe because I watched the extended edition, maybe he said it in that.
I didn't watch the extended edition.
Okay, because there's a bit, right, where he's running around with the hand by his bodyguard, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he says, this war, this death has really made me realise.
Oh,
Okay. So I'm not going to say, actually, then we don't need to spoil. I don't need to.
He rescinds the spoilers.
I don't need to, because obviously I'm not, because I just want to recall what it is. But, it's really twisted, and that's why I enjoyed that character.
Mm-hmm.
But I did enjoy, but then going back, I really enjoyed his bodyguard, Hanbai.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he did a really good job of showing his trouble, what situation he was in. Because he was really envious of Shinzemon,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, mm-hmm. of his, he having his own dojo and becoming one of the shogun guys.
Mm-hmm.
And, and then, you know, on top of that, but he actually does hate his own lord. But he's so fixed to the idea of becoming an honourable samurai, he won't even betray his own lord. So it's really interesting how much of a job he does do. And so that's me talking a lot for that part. What about you, James? Anything else you want to add to it?
You really feel how evil the main antagonist is.
Right.
What's his name? I forget. Natto.
I can't say Natto.
I think you do feel almost how torn Hanbai may feel in places, and you know, you build up an idea of what he is. I didn't feel that the protagonists were... I didn't feel like I knew them as well.
No, I agree with that.
Which wasn't too much of an issue. Like, in a way, I suppose they're samurai, and I heard quite a lot about, you know, what a samurai's duty is.
Right.
And I was wondering why they were doing what they were doing. Oh, they had reasons, but not samurai reasons.
Were they pretending assassins?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. But they're just doing the right for the right.
Yeah, exactly.
I think they were realizing they were kind of getting the best of both worlds, in the sense, like, even though they were acting like samurais, they were going to get samurai's death, or they're hoping for one. And on top of that, they were going to do a noble act.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to defeat a guy who will become a tyrant.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, for them, that's more than being a samurai, really. Mm-hmm. You know, it's fine. I mean, like, at the end, there's a dialogue where Shinzamon, or the leader of the 13 assassins, basically says that servants, you know, they are meant to serve the laws, but not also meant to be abused. Mm-hmm. And that's why servants eventually rise.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's basically talking about people's basic rights that we all should have.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's another thing, you can relate to that.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, I just want to quickly go off. I enjoyed so I was talking about sense of humour. There's one bit I loved. I like the 13th Assassin.
Yeah, he's really good, and I thought that, once again, that was really good.
Yeah, great. Like, the time he had in the film, he was one of the most lovable characters, basically, because he was in the second half of the film, but what he was doing was he's pretty funny as well, like, the whole brothel scene. That was...
I don't think I saw that.
Oh, you didn't? That's extended scene.
Okay.
Then.
Oh. No,
the brothel scene is pretty funny. Then. Okay. You should watch that. I think, because that's from the international cut then.
Okay.
Really funny then. If you watch this, then watch extended. Because even I didn't, like I said, I enjoyed the pacing. I didn't feel like anything was missing or was too over the top. Like, they added too much. But going back, I thought the second in command of 13 Assassins was a badass. The fat guy, you know, he's a bit chubby. The old chubby guy.
Oh, yeah.
So I know we've been going about specific characters, but we really should talk about the action as well. Like, one thing I've got to say is it's not stylized in a way. It doesn't in any way make... It makes samurai fighting badass, but not cool, if you know what I mean. Like, because it doesn't make it... There's no slow motion.
Okay, then.
Right? Yeah. There's none of this, like, you know... overemphasizing one action scene. It's just, it's all in real time. They are just going, they're constantly fighting. And I love the fact that you see actually an exhaustion from the assassins. Like, it's not like you watch like Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
No one ever looks tired, right? They're just constantly throwing bows and arrows and fighting. Like, Aragorn is just like, all right, come on, I'm slaying thousands of orc. I haven't got one muscle knackered in here. Whereas these guys are like, all right, I'm pretty knackered, you know. It's like they fight to the very end till they like drop dead. And I mean, you actually see that. There's one guy, Hayarama, or the one who has the one with the two blades.
He's
like completely badass.
He's a fucking badass.
Like that, and that's where we go back to again. Like, even though we didn't have enough time to see him as characters, right, to actually develop his characters, we had enough time to at least see them each actor become a badass, or be each character be a badass, and I can at least appreciate that, considering there's 13 of them. So to have that was awesome, basically. And I thought the whole role, even though it makes no sense how 13 assassins are fighting 200 people, samurais, because there's moments, you know, where people are backing off. You could clearly think, right? Because they make it so realistic, right?
Yeah.
Like, then you think, why hasn't that 10th guy stabbed him who's surrounding him? Because it's constantly like one person surrounded by 30 people. And if they all just jumped on him, like a good old American football style sack, and then job done.
Would have been a short film.
It'd be a really short film. Yeah, but that's the other thing. 1 hour of pure action.
Yeah.
Like, I was exhausted watching that.
I think the action, in a way, is kind of, to me, I felt like it was split in two again, if you know what I mean.
Okay.
And by the second half of the, right near the end of the action, it wasn't that I didn't like it. I just felt it was tiring. I wanted it to move on. Do you know what I mean?
I do kind of know what you mean. I won't lie. Like,
I was like, kind of move this on to something that's not a bit different. But I was still entertained. It's weird. It's a weird thing for me to exactly explain.
I know. It's tough, but I kind of agree, because the thing is, it feels like for a moment nothing's happening, but everything's happening at the same time. Okay, it's not really a spoiler, but obviously you can imagine some people do die when 13 assassins are fighting 200 people. So basically, the thing is, the assassins live for too long, actually, in my opinion. So there's a half an hour fighting that you don't see any threat really happening to them. Like, you see a bit of them getting cut, but it's just like at the end, it's like in the last half an hour they start dropping off.
Yeah.
Whereas if they'd done it throughout, it made them a bit more sense, a bit more tension maybe occur throughout the whole fight.
They live for too long, and then when they do start die, they drop too quickly, and I don't know if this is a spoiler. I really got distracted by their reactions to death.
Yeah,
so like, when one of the assassin's mates died, I kind of felt like they didn't act like they were samurais anymore.
What do you mean? Do you feel like they should just act normal Karen fighting?
Not normal. Like, obviously, a lot of the people, because they're masters and they're students, they had emotional connections.
Right.
But in at least two examples, the people just went batshit crazy and almost, they seemed like they did things that wouldn't help their mission, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, but
and at some stage, someone's had to say to someone else, remember what the mission is.
Yeah, I guess so. But the thing is, I guess when you're fighting 200 people, you will get highly emotional. I mean, and you won't
you
think
might it. Do because you're a little girl, but
fuck off.
You know,
why must go and fucking pour oil on your fucking legs in front of me?
It's body lotion.
Body lotion, whatever it is. Right, but the other thing is, and this is a spoiler, but it's nothing really important. The funny thing is, in the first opening battle scene, they basically killed 70 people. They say we killed not those 70, and I'm like, and like for the next 45 minutes or an hour, they're still killing off the rest, and I'm just like, how long do you guys take to kill out these fuckers? And you kill like 70 of them in 5 minutes, mm-hmm. and then the rest is taking ages.
Yeah, but though, to be fair, the way they killed the first 70
was pretty smart.
Was
the balls
easier than the next however 130.
But I gotta say the ball sequence was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Even though it was badly, it looked really bad. If you know what I mean.
It did look a bit funny, but I thought it was really. I was just like, oh, that's a brilliant idea.
it's almost like have you seen Harold and Kumar?
Yeah,
it's like a Harold and Kumar idea where they're riding cheetah, but like, no, let's do something else with the balls, use them as weapons. But I think there's nothing more to add to unless you want to talk about it.
No.
I don't want to give it a rating, actually.
That's fine.
Yeah, I'm tired of giving ratings. Tired of James, I'm
you're
tired.
You're tired of giving ratings? Go on, why?
I think it's just fun just to say, I like this film, that's it. I like this film a lot.
Okay.
I recommend people to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's weird as fuck as most Japanese films are. Even though it has a bit of oddity, it's played pretty straight.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that. And on top of that, I didn't find samurai people really boring, which I usually do. So, yeah, like I said, I really like this film. I recommend people watching it. James?
I like this film. I think it's very much worth it. If you do feel like you're struggling to get into it, to just stick with it and see what happens.
Because, that's one thing. You will get a really, really rewarding action scene. I hope we didn't spoil too much for you, but I genuinely don't think we did.
Yeah.
I think you'll thoroughly enjoy this. So I think that's about the end of the show.
Uh-huh.
But, James, you had a point you wanted to make, but we're going to digress from this review when I said that
about Inglourious Bastards. So I had a friend, I told him that I didn't like Inglourious Bastards, and he said, really, why not? And I told him why, because he said he liked it.
Right.
And I told him because I think that it doesn't really have a real story, which you disputed,
right?
But he agreed, he said it doesn't have a real story, but he still liked it. And I just mentioned, I wanted to mention that to you because you, when we had our obvious discussion about it for a very long time, you defended it fully.
Yeah.
Without any flaws. But I would find it interesting to see if the other people that liked it.
Well, I mean, James, I'm going to put it this way. Your mates have been.
He loves Inglourious Basterds.
I think that ends it on a healthy note. So now we're called the BFC, or the Brit Film Club. You can email us at thebritfilmcast@gmail.com.
Club?
No, cast.
Oh, okay.
The Brit Film Cast, because I don't call it the Brit Film Club Podcast.
Okay.
So I just call it the Brit Film
Club. So it's a Brit Film Club and we're the Brit Film Cast. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I guess so.
That's nice.
I guess so.
Wait a minute. Our fans are called the Umpets. What are we going to do?
Or the Umpers, is that
right? No, they're not the Umpers. They were the Umpets.
We're so called Umpers.
They need a new name.
We'll decide when one of them emails us or tweets at us. But just want to quickly add, right, my cousin, she listened to it, the doctor, right?
Okay.
And she said we're actually pretty funny. She loved the bit where we were talking about Gerard Depardieu pissing in a bowl. I should find
that's the important bit.
I think it is personally is. But yeah, that's the end. You can tweet us at, well, me, Ali, at broken_engineer. James at Nostrajamis.
Yep.
Alex is not with us anymore. He's dead. I'm kidding.
Oh.
James was about to cry. I mean, yeah, fuck it. No, I'll say it. His is at Alec Nick, and if he's is at I Ahmed 787786.
You never remember that one.
It's tough.
Is it because it's a bit of a tongue twister?
It is a fucking tongue twister, isn't it? I'm going to say it now. I said twang twister.
Twang twister.
Twang twister. Anyway, that's the end. Thank you for listening. If you did listen, you fuckers. And we'll hopefully be back next week. I'm like, fuck critics. You can kiss my whole asshole. If you don't like my lyrics, you can press fast forward. Got beef with radio if I don't play they show. They don't play my hits. Well, I don't give a shit. So, rap mags try and use my black ass. So advertisers can give them more cash for ads. Fuckers, I don't know what you take me as. Or understand the intelligence that Jay-Z has. I'm from rags, the richest niggas, I ain't dumb. I got 99 bottles, but a bitch ain't one. Hit me.